Gracious God, open our hearts and our spirits to receive your word. And may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There are some very interesting phrases or images in our scripture lesson from Matthew. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. These words come to us right after Jesus has taught on the mountainside the Beatitudes, of which we're very familiar. Blessed are all of those that we remember so well. And now Jesus introduces to us the teachings of salt and light. Lessons about keeping or losing flavor, and of letting our light shine. To get a better handle on what Jesus may have been alluding to in his reference to salt, perhaps we have to look back a bit and get an understanding of the importance of salt in the Jewish community some 2,000 years ago. If you are not a wordsmith, you may not know that the English word salary comes from the word sale, which means salt. Now, we all know how well a compensation helps out our lives, and it was often used as compensation back in the days of the Romans. The soldiers often were paid in salt. Salt in and of itself has some very unique qualities. It is associated with purity, because it comes from the purest of things, from the sun and from water. Secondly, salt is used as a preservative. I can think about the times I remember walking through the farmer's market with my grandfather and seeing several of the stands that were selling fish, and they were always packed upon ice and always salted with fresh salt. That was long before refrigeration, but still it's used in that same manner today. As the children reminded us, salt adds flavor to food. Now, you might be thinking, as I often mention, that salt may not be one of the best things for our lives, but that's in excess, and so it does bring a specialness to food that we don't find from other spices. I know there are substitutes out there, and you may use one, but I have always found that they just don't cut it. You know, it's just not the same. Well, those are some examples of how salt is used, but I'm not sure, in fact, I don't think, that that's what Jesus was talking about it or referring to when he mentions, "You are the salt of the earth." I want us to notice very carefully what Jesus is saying. He says, "You are salt." He's saying that you are to be someone who enhances, who brings a little zest into life. We are to use the very spirits that are within us to enrich and enliven, and to be a little salty in our days, not in ways that degrade or put down, but that bring enthusiasm and heart to a situation. I believe that Jesus is saying that if the spirit within us is not used, is not exhibited, that it can waste away, and it's of no use to anyone or anything. So what might be the implications for us as Christians being called salt and light? Well, first let us remember the beatitude that Jesus shared. Blessed are the pure in heart. Our call is to be pure, meaning that we should seek to be free, as free as we can, from all the contamination of sin. Thusly, we should try and refrain from being sucked into every whim or new idea that's brought forward without any thought or understanding. We must be careful not to lose our moral compass that leads us to obedience and faithfulness to God. Secondly, we must be preservers of what is good and honorable in our society. We have a way that is set before us by Jesus, who summons us to exhibit in ourselves and to share it with the world. Even if everything around us seems to be crumbling, even falling apart, and it seems that everyone else is succumbing to temptation, we are called to keep the straight and narrow, to keep our hearts and our heads above the rising waters. Simply put, we are called to be different. Thirdly, we must be bold. Bold in bringing the flavor of things to the world. Unfortunately, too often the call and the path to follow Jesus appears to be not full of joy, to be one that is dour, in fact. So often the Christian lifestyle is looked upon as being restrictive, confining, keeping people from doing what they want, and so the possibility of joy is missing. Society seems to think that it is so much easier to experience all of those things outside of the Christian lifestyle. And maybe some of that's our fault, because we don't share enough of the joy that's within our hearts. Maybe we ourselves have lost some of the joy and the radiance, some of that understanding that comes from being followers of Jesus. What is needed, I believe, is to reclaim the exuberance that comes from the knowledge and the belief in the fact that Christ died for us, rose from the dead, that we might be released from the power and the bondage of sin and share in the promise of eternal life. This joy comes to us from knowing that no matter what may happen, whatever may come our way along our path, that we are not walking it alone, that we are not abandoned in any situation, that we are not left to the fickle consequences of evil that might come across our path. It is knowing that the promise of sharing in the wonder and the mystery of eternity can never be destroyed. And what about light? To live as an example of our trust in God's word and promises is what Jesus is calling us to be when he says, "You are the light of the world." The very Spirit of God, the very presence of the Holy One, has been implanted into each and every one of us to guide and protect us, to enable and to sustain us. And we are called to live in such a way that takes that gift seriously. We are called to live so that the Spirit and the presence of the Lord can be seen in us and be reflected to others through our behaviors and through our attitudes. My friends, I know you know that we live in serious times. And if we really want to see change in our world, we must be serious about our faith. We cannot just be Sunday morning Christians. We can't rely on the idea that if I belong to the church and that I believe in God, that all is going to be well because God will fix it, that God will do something. Well, my friends, God has done something. God has summoned you and I to do his work in the world. God has not given us the spirit of timidity, but rather of boldness. He has given us the light that will brighten and enhance our darkened world. And it comes from us, through us, and to us. Now, it is true that it only takes a small amount of light, a small candle, to brighten up a darkened room. But it takes an enormous amount of darkness, an enormous amount, to bring that light to an end. Last week, we heard the prophetic voice of the ancient prophet and the apostle Paul. And you heard the present day prophetic voice of Pastor Emily about the need to remember God's call to us, to remember the teachings of Jesus as they instruct us on how we were all created, how we were all to treat one another, how everyone is to care for and not judge, that our neighbors are to be loved through grace as we walk through life together. Our world is not designed or ordered to be a place of condemnation, but of grace and of love. As the ancient prophet Micah proclaims, we are to show mercy, to act justly, and to walk a path of humbleness and compassion. As Jesus calls us to be salt and light, he is not encouraging us to be passive, but active agents of his word. We cannot just sit and stew over all of the difficulties and problems and evils that are present in our world. We must be doers of the word and not just hearers. We must not only call to question the actions of some who act out of a sense of superiority, but we must be naming those actions and proclaim that they are not acceptable and will not be tolerated. If we just sit by in our rockers or in our church pews, bemoaning all of the situations that we can hear about, we are like the salt that has lost its flavor, that has become of little purpose and value and is cast aside or ignored. The call of the ancient prophets and our present-day prophets as well, the call of Jesus through his ministry and his teaching, the urging of the Spirit that rained down at Pentecost and at each one of our baptisms is the call to be bold in the name of God. Our lives must denounce evil behavior, not just talk about it. We must see that mercy and compassion are the rule of the day, and not just platitudes that are spoken by those who say they are religious. Our lives must reflect these values. If you remember the words that are found in the statement of faith of the United Church of Christ, they say, we are to proclaim the gospel and resist the powers of evil. I believe that's what it means to be salt, to be light. We are compelled to live with the same purpose that Jesus proclaimed in the latter part of our gospel lesson, that the prophet spoke about when he criticized the Hebrew people. Words that speak to us and really don't need explanation. So let me share with you those words again. Jesus says, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until it is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. We are warned, but we are blessed. St. Francis of Assisi is attributed to a phrase, I have it in my office, that says, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. That's what it means to be salt. That's what it means to be light. There's a contemporary song that's out right now that Linda and I have enjoyed, that we think it speaks well about what we should be about, and I'd like to share it with you this morning. Listen for the word of the Lord.
I talk about grace, I talk about love, I talk about faith, but some days I don't have enough. I talk about forgiveness, still learning how to give it. Lord, I need your strength to live what I believe. I want my life to preach. Every breath, every beat, I want my life. I talk about peace.